Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
I want to talk to you tonight about what I believe the Lord showed me this morning. God is our great defender. If you're going to turn in your Bibles and want to follow along some scripture, you'll need to go to Isaiah chapter 36 and chapter 37. And the setting is this, that a man by the name of Hezekiah, he's the king of Jerusalem. He's a good king. He's one of the good ones. Isaiah is the prophet of the day, and he's the prophet of God. And by the way, Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation. That'll mean something to you a little bit on down the road here. So Isaiah is the prophet. King Hezekiah is the king of Jerusalem. At that day, the leading empire was the Assyria. Assyria was the leading empire. They were trying to take over the world and dominate the world. Seems like history always has somebody who wants to take over the world. And Assyria, this was their turn, and so they were invading lands and taking people captive and making people pay high taxes and taking their property and all that kind of stuff. Well, the king of Assyria wanted Jerusalem. He'd captured a lot of lands and countries around them, but he wanted the city of Jerusalem. So he sent an envoy, he sent a messenger with a big army with him to be very impressive and be intimidating, and he sent him to Jerusalem to bring a message to King Hezekiah. Basically, it was, hey, you either surrender or we're going to wipe you out. That was pretty much it. This official from the king of Assyria met with officials of King Hezekiah outside the walls of Jerusalem. Now, they're outside the walls of Jerusalem. They're having this meeting, and the messenger from Assyria, his message is very important because God recorded it in the Bible. And I left my glasses there. Can I borrow yours for a moment? A little magnification helps me. Oh, I got them right here. Thank you, Joe. You could have given me a hand signal to tell it everybody. You're sitting here on the front row. Anyway, here it is in chapter 36. Here's the words of the messenger of Assyria. So you don't have it on PowerPoint, so listen or read along. And beginning at verse 13, but my Bible is a modern English version, so maybe a little bit different from yours. But anyway, here we are. Here are the words of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is the messenger of Assyria talking. Thus says the king, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Wait a minute, if I'm reading in the right place here, hold on, give me patience. Oh, no, back up. We're in chapter 36, but we're in verse 4. And so this messenger says, he's talking now to the leaders of Jerusalem. King Hezekiah is not there. He's back inside the walls, but here's his envoy out there. And this man from Assyria says, what confidence is this that you guys have? And basically he's saying, you think you can rely on Egypt to come help you? You relying on Egypt is like leaning on a stick that's going to break, he says. But he says, if you say to me, oh, we trust in the Lord our God, he says, wasn't the high places that Hezekiah tore down, wasn't those the high places of worship? You telling me you trust in God? Now, that was a lie. That was a misunderstanding because he was wrong. The high places were idolatry places that were torn down. But this guy is misinformed, and he's saying, well, you think Hezekiah is telling you to trust in God? Well, he's the one responsible for tearing down all those altars. So he's misinformed there. Now, down verse 8, he says, come on, let's make a bargain. I'll give you guys 2,000 horses. You got to realize that was a lot. If you have enough men to be able to ride them. So evidently, they probably didn't have 2,000 warriors. And now he says, and he goes on to say, have I come up here without the Lord's approval? It was the Lord himself that sent me here to tell you guys to surrender, and or else I'm not supposed to destroy this land. That was a flat out lie. And so now that you see in verse 11, the names of the representatives of King Hezekiah there, and they say, hey, don't speak in Hebrew because the men on the wall can hear you. Speak in your language, we'll understand that. And so this messenger says, you need to listen to me. The king of Assyria says, did you think I'm just here to talk to you guys? I'm here to save these people's lives. He's continuing to speak in Hebrew so the people on the wall can hear him. He says, I'm sent here to save these people because if you guys don't buckle under and do what you're supposed to, these people are going to be eating their own dung and drinking their own urine before nightfall. And he's saying that loud enough so everybody's hearing. Very intimidating. And then he goes on, continues to speak in Hebrew out loud so everybody can hear him. He says, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. Don't let Hezekiah tell you, trust in the Lord. The Lord will deliver us. And the city won't be delivered into Syria. Don't trust in Hezekiah. He's saying this out loud. Don't listen to him. For the king of Assyria says, make your peace with me and come out, and every one of you will have a garden and a vine and be able to drink water from your own cistern, and I'll take you to a nice land to live, and you'll have things a lot better off than you think. Don't let Hezekiah persuade you, saying the Lord's going to deliver us. Then he goes on to say, has any of the gods of the other nations been delivered out of the hand of the king of Syria? And the answer was no. Where are the gods that helped them? They didn't help them. King of Assyria came in and wiped them out. So don't trust in the Lord. He's the one that sent me here to tell you guys this. And that was a lie. But here's the part I want you to see and really zero in on verse 21. But they held their peace, talking about the representatives of King Hezekiah and the people on the wall. They held their peace and they answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, do not answer him. Now, let's kind of help you understand. I hope I'm helping you understand what this, you can get a picture in your mind what this is. This messenger from the king of Assyria has come to this, come to the land of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, and he's saying, what's this confidence you guys have? You're holding out. Everybody else knows they need to surrender or they're going to get wiped out. What are you guys holding out for? You can't trust the Lord. Hezekiah tore down his altars. You either make a deal with me and I'll give you more horses than you can put men on. And the Lord's the one that sent me here and told me to come destroy this land. Now, you hear all this stuff. Doesn't that sound like the devil? And the king's command was, don't answer him. No matter what he says, don't answer him. When the devil talks to you, don't answer him. Don't answer him. Ignore him. Don't give him your time. Don't give him your energy. And especially, don't give him your words. I had one of those days one time where it seemed like everything was going wrong. And it was one setback after another during the day. And I finally began to think, this is not even just normal run-of-the-mill things breaking down, things happening. This is harassment. It has to be spiritual harassment from the enemy. He's trying to get under my skin. Does anybody know anything like what I'm talking about? Well, it's not just stuff happens. It happens to everybody. But after a while, you begin to pick up in your spirit, no, this is harassment from an enemy who's trying to get under my skin. And Pam was away, and she was coming home that afternoon. And when she arrived, when she got home, my flesh wanted to tell her what a horrible day I'd had. My flesh was just itching to say, well, let me tell you about my day. Man, I've had to do this, and I lost that, and I couldn't find that, and this happened here, and this happened here, and I wanted to tell her what a horrible day I'd had and how everything had gone wrong. But I believe now it was the Holy Spirit who made me aware in my mind, and this is all in my mind, is what I heard in my mind, don't even mention it. Don't mention it to her. My flesh wanted to complain. I don't know why our flesh takes comfort in, hey, I'm complaining. It feels good to complain. No, it really doesn't. You're energizing something you don't want to energize. And so my flesh wanted to complain, but I believe the Holy Spirit was just giving me the thoughts of my mind saying, no, don't even mention it. Don't even say a word. If I had, it would have been giving the devil some pleasure. Because if the devil was the one harassing me and causing one thing after another to aggravate, then to hear me complain about it, he'd said, ha, 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 it worked. It'd been giving him some pleasure. But the fact that I didn't even say a word about it, just simply ignored him and all of his activities, if it didn't matter. King Hezekiah's officials told King Hezekiah all that the messenger of Assyria said. He said, you better surrender or they're going to come wipe us out. Now, it looked bad. It looked really bad. It was like a dark cloud, you can imagine, coming over your house, and instead of moving on, it just stays right there over your house. And it's bad. And Hezekiah knows it's bad. It's doom and gloom. And it wasn't just talk, because Assyria could back it up now. It's one thing for somebody to mouth off to you and say they're going to do this and do that. And if you know they ain't got the goods to back it up, it doesn't mean anything to you. But if you know they can back it up, you kind of go, whoa, this is serious. Hello, are you with me? This Assyrian Empire could back it up. So King Hezekiah, the king of Jerusalem, he's depressed. And he tears his clothes, which is a sign of grief. And he sends a messenger to Isaiah, the prophet of the day, and says, please pray for us because of all this is going on. And then Hezekiah goes to the house of prayer, or he goes to the temple to pray and talk to God. And part of his prayer, you can read the whole thing because it's in the Bible, but part of it is Isaiah 37, verse 3, very important. This is what King Hezekiah is saying to God. This is a day of trouble. For children have come to birth, but there's not enough strength to bring them forth. We are pregnant, but we don't have enough strength to birth. We are pregnant with promises from God, but we don't have enough strength to make it come to pass. That's what he's saying, Isaiah 37, 3. You could say it this way, maybe in your own life. I have these prophecies from God, but I just can't wait any longer. It's time to birth some things from God, but we don't have the strength carry it out. Grace Tabernacle, we expect it by now be about 1,000 people. Sanctuary can 800 right here on the floor. At that time, we were hoping to use the balcony, but now the fire marshal says we can't. We were going to put another 150 up there. And so we were expecting by now, it's been 16 years, we'll have 1,000 people, we'll have multiple services. We've had prophecies from people that come in, special guest speakers, prophets that came here and said, this building's not big enough for what God's going to do here. We've had tons of prophecies and people come in, notable people say, no, God has showed me he's going to do something great here in this place. And tonight I'm looking at about maybe 35, 40 people. Sunday morning, maybe 200, a little bit more than that. Where's that 1,000? Where's and beyond? Where are the? We've had prophecies. I think we're right here. Where the children have come to birth, but there's not enough strength to bring them forth. I think God's showing us something. Some prophecies are unconditional. I mean, we have nothing to do with it. Prophecies about the Lord's return. Lord's going to return whether we believe it or not. It's going to happen whether we cooperate or not. It's unconditional. But there are some prophecies that are conditional. We play a big part whether or not they come to pass. Whether we keep on believing, we keep on declaring, we keep standing in faith and know, or do we abort? Because we just don't have strength anymore to bring forth the baby. Pam was a pediatric nurse, and she delivered a lot of babies, and even as midwife, and helped deliver babies. And she was telling me this morning that, you know, when you some women, they go through such a long labor that they're just totally exhausted. And they get to a point where they can't push anymore. They're just done. And yet the baby's not out yet. And so they give them tell them what it is that they did.
Yeah, I had one patient that one of the nurses who had been delivering babies forever, she just had old-fashioned good ideas, and she tied a knot into a sheet and gave it to the patient, and she said, okay, when the next contraction comes, I'm going to pull you up to push. And so she did. She would pull her up, but the patient at that point just didn't even have the strength even to push, so they ended up with a C-section. But they had she had some really interesting ideas about helping women to be able to, when they get too tired, to be able to give birth.
But they could do a C-section. But back in the day of Hezekiah, when Hezekiah was saying this, there was no C-section. Either you push that baby out, or that baby's going to die, and the mother's going to die. This is the idea. This is what he's trying to make clear to us. Now, the midwives back in those days didn't have a doctor, but they had midwives. The midwife's job was to encourage. Push. I can't push anymore. Yes, you can. I'm out of energy. I can't do this. Yes, you can. Just keep pushing. Come on, don't quit. You're so close. You're almost there. You must not stop. You're almost there. Come on, a few more. You see, encourage, 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 and then, he's there. But if she hadn't been encouraged, if she'd have believed her own body, she'd be dead, and the baby would die. This is what we have to do for one another. You have prophecies in your life that haven't been fulfilled. We have prophecies in this church that haven't been fulfilled yet, for whatever reason. And we are the midwives. We're here to encourage you. No, you can't stop. Oh, no, you're going to keep going. Oh, no, there's going to be a baby here. Oh, no, there's going to be a revival here. Oh, no, there's going to be over 1,000 people coming here on a regular basis. Oh, no, this church is not done, and we're going to birth the baby that God has sent here. But I've only got 5 or 6 midwives. I need 30 or 40. I need 100. Everybody plays a part. You can't be sitting back there saying, well, I don't believe it's ever going to happen. I've been here since the beginning. It ain't going to happen. Well, then you're part of the problem. You either need to change or you need to go. Preacher, are you telling me? Yeah. Or be quiet and watch a miracle. So it's encouragement. We got to encourage what God has said, what God has spoken, what God has imparted. We're pregnant. We're going to have a baby. We need to act like it. Not like, No, get excited. You're about to birth something. It's of God. But you play a key role. And Hezekiah, he was at the point where saying, no, we're pregnant, but we just don't have the strength, God, to carry it out. That's where he was. He was honest. Hezekiah's praying the problem. No indication that he heard anything back from God. Back then, God would speak through a prophet. Sometimes the king. But he didn't speak to Hezekiah specifically, directly to Hezekiah. He spoke through the prophet. Now I want you to pay close attention. Remember Isaiah's name means? You're going to have to go back and retake the test. His name means Yahweh is salvation. Say that with me. Yahweh is salvation. That's the prophet's name. So you could say it this way. When King Hezekiah sent a message to Isaiah the prophet and said, would you pray? You could say King Hezekiah asked a man whose name is Yahweh is salvation to pray to Yahweh. And the man whose name Yahweh is salvation came back with an answer from Yahweh. And Yahweh said his first words were this, 3 words or 4 words. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Fear is the first way the enemy attacks us. It's my understanding. I think that's the first line of attack from the enemy is always some kind of fear. Fear is a sign. If you get fearful, it's a sign to the enemy that what he did is working. He's getting to you. It's working. But if you are fearless, then it is a sign to your enemy that he's done. He's done. Listen to this, and I wish I could have it on the screen for you. I'd like you to look it up in different versions. I think this is from the Voice version. And I like this particular scripture in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. You ought to keep this one, because you're going to need it in your arsenal one day. Philippians 1:28. And it just says this. Listen to this from this version. Don't be paralyzed in any way by what your opponents are doing. Your steadfast faith in the face of opposition is a sign that they are doomed and that you have been graced with God's salvation. I'll read it again. Don't be paralyzed in any way by what your opponents are doing. Don't be paralyzed in any way by what your opponents are doing. Your steadfast faith in the face of opposition is a sign that they are doomed and that you've been graced with salvation. So the question is, well, how can we stop from being afraid when we get attacked? How can we keep from going into fear mode when we get bad news, when bad things happen? How can we stop from being afraid? I think it's this. The answer is we have to upgrade our view of God. If we upgrade our view of God, when the enemy sends his little fiery darts, because our view of God is so much greater, we will not even flinch. We won't give it the time of day. Look what Moses, a man who spent a lot of time with God, look what he said to Joshua, who was the next leader of Israel. He said this in Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. He said this. Moses said this to Joshua. You must be strong and of good courage. The Lord, He goes before you. Say that part with me. The Lord, He goes before you. Moses evidently experienced this. And he's telling Joshua, now you've got to learn to be strong and courageous because you're going to get attacked. You're going to have impossible things come at you. And you've got to remain strong and courageous, especially as the leader. You have got to do this. And here's why. Because the Lord goes before you. He'll be with you. He won't fail you. Nor forsake you. Don't fear and don't be discouraged. Let me tell you something. And I need that board tonight, but I don't need it now. But I'll get it some other time. I think God is saying that to you and me tonight, Wednesday night here at Grace Tabernacle. I don't think He just said that to Moses, and He didn't just say that in the Bible for us to read and say, oh, that's nice. I think He's telling you that right now because you need to know this. He's telling me that right now because we need to know this. The Lord, He goes before you. God is in eternity. Right now, we're living in a little thing called time. Imagine eternity with no limit beyond the walls of this building. And here we are right now in this little thing called time. Time. It has a beginning and it has an end. God exists outside of time. Time has days, hours, minutes, measurements of time. God exists outside of that. God has gone before us, is telling us something about God that ought to upgrade our view. He is saying to you and I, that God is already in your future. He's already in your tomorrow. He is already in the last day you live on this earth. He is way ahead of you. He's already there. Well, what's He doing? He's making preparation for when you get there, you'll have what you need when you get there. You don't know what you're going to be. Yeah, He knows because He's already there. He's already in your future. And he says, well, okay, Gary's going to need this on here, and he's going to need this. He's going to, so he's arranging all that. It's all, yep. So when Gary gets here from this point in time to this point in time, he'll find out that I was already there and I made provision for him. You experienced that already. In some way or another, you have experienced and found out God is way ahead of you. Now, example, and there's many examples in the Bible, and there are many examples in your life you can start pulling from and thinking on right now. Abraham, I want you to go sacrifice your son Isaac. What? I want you to go sacrifice your son Isaac on the mountain. No explanation, just go do it. Abraham, Isaac, with the wood on his back, symbol of Christ, typical of Christ. Type of Christ, They're going up to the mountain. Abraham knows he's going to sacrifice his son. Other side of the mountain, actually, probably long before they got up there, God sent a ram. He gets up there at the top. He realizes, God makes it clear to him, you don't have to sacrifice your son. I have provided a ram. I have gone before you and made provision. Actually, we say Jehovah Jireh, which that's just our Gentile way of saying it, Jehovah Yireh. It means the Lord is our provider. It actually means the Lord has gone ahead and made provision. When you say his name, Jehovah Jireh, you're saying the Lord has gone ahead of me and made provision. When you're declaring prophetically by faith, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and you don't have a penny in your pocket to pay a bill, you are believing and declaring to the principalities and the powers of the air all around you right now, hear this. The Lord is my provider. He's always provided for me. He will always be my provider. I don't look to this man or that woman or whatever. I look to him. He is my supply. He is my provider. So you say that. That's warfare. Instead of saying and agreeing with what the enemy's been whispering in your ear, I don't know how we're going to make it. The devil says, I don't know how you're going to make it. And you say, well, I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't have enough money to pay me. I don't know what I'm going to do about it. Well, you're agreeing with the devil, and the devil's saying, whoo, that's good, good. Keep saying it. And the problem is, if you say that, you need to upgrade your view of God. You need to go back and meditate on Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord, he goes before you. Now, either that's true for you or it's not. I'm claiming it's true for me. Man, have I seen it? I can't tell you how many times. I could tell you stories, and many of them I've already told you, so I won't go into all that detail. But time when we showed up at just at the right time and wondered how in the world we're going to pay this or how are we going to take care of this, and the Lord, bam, provided. And I have to go, wow, God, you're way ahead of me. You're greater than what I thought you were. And God wants you to have these times in your life. He knows what's coming tomorrow. He knows what's coming a year from now. And he's telling you, you need to upgrade your view of me. You think too small. When you go in panic mode, when you get in fear because of the doctor's report, or you get in fear because of the money situation, or you get in fear because of whatever happens to you, bad news does come to us. When you get in fear mode, you need to get out of that real quick. And your view of God is, God, you saw this long before I did. I have to believe that somehow, some way, you have made provision for me to get through this thing victorious, and that you will be glorified. Now, I'm going to read in my Bible, Isaiah 37, and I want to read to you a little bit about what Hezekiah did. Now, Hezekiah, he took the messages from the king of Assyria, all this intimidating stuff, and he went into the house of the Lord, the temple, by himself, and he had all these letters, and he just spread them out all probably on the floor before the Lord, and said, now, Lord, you see what I'm up against. You see these threats. You see these demands of me. And he spread them out before the Lord. And it says, Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, saying, now listen to his prayer, because God wrote this in the Bible because it's important. This is Hezekiah's prayer. Now he's saying, O Lord of hosts. That means Lord of the universe. Lord of the hosts, Lord of God of Israel, who dwells above the cherubim. You are God and you alone. And you are above all the kingdoms of the earth. You hearing his words? He's magnifying God. Not that you can magnify God. You can't make God any bigger. But your words are magnifying. Or your words are demagnifying him. And he's going on to say, now, O Lord, hear all the words that the king of Assyria has sent to reproach the living God. And listen to him. He's honest with God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria, they have laid waste to all the nations around us. And they cast their gods into the fire. But their gods weren't gods. They were just the work of men's hands. And therefore, Assyria destroyed them. Now, Lord God, save us from his hand. Here's the key. That all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone are Lord and are God. Purpose. Now, Lord, save us so everybody in the whole world who's watching us go through this mess, they'll know that you are Lord, the real, true, and living God. Everything we go through in this life is ultimately for his namesake. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, you know that. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Come on, finish it with me. For that's purpose. He has a purpose. Every trial in your life has a purpose. Every problem in your life has a purpose. Every victory in your life has a purpose. Every healing in your life has a purpose. Every person in your life has a purpose. Every church on this world has a purpose. Now, later on, the Lord spoke. And he spoke, Isaiah 37, verse 35. The Lord said this, for I will defend this city to save it. And he says it for this. Now, listen to this part. I'll defend this city to save it for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Wow. David must have really touched God's heart about the city of Jerusalem. Called it the city of David, city of the great king. And God says, I'll defend this city for my own sake and for David's sake, probably because of some of David's prayers. Now, some things happen to us in life not because we caused it or we had anything to do with it. Sometimes it's just an attack of the enemy. Nod your head, because that's the truth. Nod your head to help me know you're not asleep, too. Some bad things happen to us, not because of anything you've done. It's just sometimes it's an attack of the enemy. But I want you to understand something. If God, who is the Lord of hosts, if God allows it, he could stop it. If he allows it, could it be that he wants to upgrade your view of him? Could it be that he wants you to see he is a good, good father? Could it be that he wants you to see he is really a healer? He really is a provider? He really is a shepherd. He really is your defender. God is your defender. He is a good father. He is not going to let his children be beat up by a bully that he's already whipped. God will either send the people you need when you need them, or he will cause the enemy to fall before you, to your amazement. I can't tell you how he's going to do it, but I just know he's real good at it. So the end of this story, wind this up, is this. You can read about it. It'd be good for you to read tonight, Isaiah 36, 37. God sent one angel, everybody say one, and one angel into the Assyrian camp. And the Assyrian army woke up the next morning and there was 185,000 Assyrian soldiers dead. Wasn't all of them, but most of them. 185,000. You have any idea how many people that is? I think that's more than we can fit in this building. 185,000 Assyrian soldiers were dead, and the ones that were alive, they got up and wondered, what in the world has happened? No explanation, and the army packed up, and they went back home. How about that for deliverance? Has God got some stories to tell you? Has God got some stories to show you in your next battle? Yep, brother. Quickly. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Yeah, Linda. Yeah, yep. Heard that too. Amen. 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 I wanted you to see the lyrics tonight of this song on the screen, but the stuff's not working because of the lightning strike, whatever, but that ain't going to stop us. You can at least hear, try to pay close attention, and let's hear about 3 minutes of this song, and then we'll fade it out. I want you to hear a part that goes over and over. Let it be your worship, okay?